John's Gospel, please, chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And we are commencing to read at the first verse, please. John's Gospel, chapter 19, beginning our reading at verse number 1. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for the invitation to be with you today. And thank you for having me. And my thanks to David and May once again for their fellowship and for their hospitality. It was good to be with you, and the Lord bless you indeed. John's Gospel, chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Then the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate saith unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given me from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto him, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote this title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written. And God will bless to our hearts the reading of his own precious word for his dear name's sake. A moment's prayer, please. Dear Lord, we turn to your word. And once again, we look to the Spirit of truth to lead us and to guide us into all truth concerning the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. May Christ become real to our hearts and to our souls this evening. Speak, Lord, in the silence while we wait on thee, and hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Lord, thou hast said, and I have I been lifted up, I will draw all men unto thee, unto me. Lord, draw sinners to yourself for salvation. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. And amen. I want to speak to you this evening on the gospel that Pontius Pilate preached. And believe it or not, he preached a mighty word in the gospel. And sometimes this word is overlooked. And the message that Pilate preached is found in verse number 19 of our reading. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title was prominently displayed upon the cross. It was a title that many of the Jews could read. Because the place where Jesus Christ was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And of course the chief priests of the Jews, they came to Pilate. And they said, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And Pontius Pilate, unconscious of what he was truly writing, he wrote a tremendous statement of truth that will never change throughout the countless ages of eternity. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way and the only way to God. And this is the message for this evening. But I want to introduce this message by going back to verse 1 of our reading, because we want to see the picture and we want to try and paint the picture of why Pilate penned those words. And they were words of truth. And let me say this, that when the chief priest came and asked Pilate to change the lettering, Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And it was under the direct direction of God. God was in control now. And God wasn't going to change a statement of truth just to please these chief priests and Pharisees. And you see, the Jews delivered Christ to Pilate. They didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ. They chose a robber instead of Jesus. They chose a criminal to the Christ. And Pilate gave them their choice. And he had Jesus Christ scourged. He was delivered over to the rough, rude Roman soldiery to scourge and to beat. And you can see the cruelty of these soldiers. And mind you, they didn't treat the Lord Jesus Christ with kid gloves. These were rough, tough men. And they beat the Savior. And they crushed a crown of thorns on his head. And they clothed him with a purple robe. And then with mock reverence, they bowed before him and cried, "Hail, King of the Jews." And at the same time, they're beating the face of Christ. And verse 4 we read, "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye might know that I find no fault in him." Now, if Pilate the judge found no fault in him, why did he deliver him into the hands of the soldiers to be crucified, to be scourged, and to be beaten? Why did he do this to a faultless man? Well, the scriptures make it clear why. And we will see that as we read on. But he declared that he found no fault in the Lord Jesus. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robes. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." What a pathetic sight the Savior looks. He's beaten, he's bruised, the crown of thorns is on his head. The blood's flowing freely from his back and from his face. And he presents a figure that seemed to that he wanted to arouse their pity. But they had no pity. They cried out the more, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And if you have the cruelty of the soldiers, you have the cowardice of Pilate. What a pusillanimous politician he was. What a cowardly creature. If he found no fault in Christ, he should have set him free. But you've got this callous conduct of the crowd. They couldn't be moved with the sufferings of Christ. And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." And Pilate therefore, when he heard that saying, you know, he was more afraid. This is not just an ordinary man that's standing before him in judgment. He knows that the Jews have delivered him for envy. He knows that they despise him. He knows, but he didn't have the courage to set Christ free. And when he heard that he made himself the Son of God, he was more afraid. And remember this, Pilate's wife had a dream concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and sent her husband word to have nothing to do with that just man. He knew he was a just man. He knew he was a faultless man. He knew he was a blameless man. But because of political expediency, and because of cowardice, he was unwilling to set the Savior free. And in verse 9 we read, "And he went again into the judgment hall, and he saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Oh, that's mighty, you know. Can you see the sight and dignity of Christ just now? Oh, they're crying for his blood. They're mocking him, they're jeering him. And when Pilate asked him, "Whence art thou?" He just stood with silent dignity and said nothing. Remember, he's fulfilling the scriptures that saith, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers dumb. He opened not his mouth. But Pilate saith unto him again, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And then Jesus answers him on this occasion. Because I want you to see not only the cruelty of the soldiers and the cowardice of Pilate and the callous conduct of the crowd and the and the calmness of Christ, but I want you to see the confidence of Christ and the control of Christ in this situation. Remember this, that Christ is in control of it all. And I want you to see his confidence. He says to this Pilate, you could have no power at all against me, except it was given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. My Caiaphas, the old high priest, delivered Christ through enmity and jealousy. And he hath the greater sin. Do you know why? He should have known the scriptures. He should have known the truth. And my dear friends, listen. The teachings of Christ and the works of Christ and the good deeds of Christ and the miracles he performed and his raising of the dead declared his messianic credentials. They proved that he was indeed the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the prophetic scriptures declared the time of his coming, and they should have known the day of their visitation. It's sad, you know, when people turn from the truth. And when you turn from the truth, darkness will come down. Spiritual darkness. A terrible blindness will come upon the hearts and minds of men and women that reject the Christ. You know, we're living in sad days. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And Sodom's second coming is with us. We are seeing sodomy being revived in our land. And it's against the teachings of God's word. The Sodomite saga is upon us. The Noahite nightmare is upon us. He says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And what were the days of Lot like? They were days of violence, and they were days of wickedness, and there were days when they turned away from the truth, and they invited the dark forces of Satan to come down upon them. And God destroyed the world then. And let me tell you this, friend. People today that are rejecting Christ are in danger of the Thessalonian threat. Because all those that believe not the gospel but have turned away from the truth, when Jesus Christ comes back again, they shall be destroyed with utter destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And God will send them strong delusion, yes, that they might believe the lie, that they all might be damned. And we see this delusion coming down upon our nation. Yes. It's a satanic delusion. And they don't want the teachings of God's word. And they're turning to fables. And they're turning away to their own, to the teachings and the philosophies, vain philosophies of their own imaginations. But Jesus Christ is still in control. He says to Pilate, "You would have no power except it was given thee from above." Can you see the calmness of Christ and the confidence of Christ? Imagine him talking to this judge that was standing before him. "You wouldn't have any power over me except it was given to thee." And remember this, that Peter saith to this very nation that crying, "Crucify him," on the day of Pentecost. Peter says, "Ye have taken by wicked and cruel hands and crucified the Lord of glory." Did you know? And it was by the permission of God that they were allowed to do it. Beloved, watch this. "And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.' And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement," but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. There are three significant places in the life of Christ. Gethsemane, where he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Amen. Gabbatha, the place where he was unjustly judged. And then Golgotha, the place where our blessed Savior was crucified. And verse 14 saith, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he saith to the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' 'Shall I crucify your king?' saith Pilate. And the chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and they led him away." Oh, the political expediency. Pilate was afraid of word getting back to Rome that he had let Jesus go free, even though he was innocent. Beloved, I can only read from history that Pontius Pilate, a few short years after this, died a suicide. What a way to die. He stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, truth incarnate in the flesh, the way to God, sinless, blameless, and spotless, a just man, and he condemned him to death. What will it be when Jesus Christ comes back again as the judge of all the earth and Pilate stands before him? What recriminations there will be on the day of judgment. Beloved, look at our blessed Savior. Verse 17 saith, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." Here's the crucifixion. The cruel crucifixion of Christ. Where they crucified him. Socrates, the Greek philosopher, said that crucifixion was so shameful a death that it should never be spoken of in polite society. Ah, but let me tell you, friend, it's the way of the cross leads home. And there's no other way but this. The gates of light you will ne'er gain sight of, the way of the cross you miss. Why? Because at the place called Calvary, or in the Hebrew tongue, Golgotha, God himself was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not by might and it's not by power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord, and ye must be born again, or enter heaven never. 'Tis only twice born ones go there, the ransomed and forgiven. Now this brings me to the gospel that Pilate preached. And I want to say this, it's a mighty word. Because Christ, or Pilate, submitted to the cries of this callous crowd and delivered Christ to be crucified. And then Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, beloved, picture the scene. Christ with his arms outstretched. He's nailed to the cross. And there's a placard above his head. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so he was. Where is he that is born? King of the Jews. The Magi from the east asked, art thou then a king? Said Pilate to Jesus. For this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. But my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of Christ that spiritual. And in order to enter his kingdom, ye must be born again. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If Christ's kingdom was of this old world, that's dominated by the god of this world, the devil, then would his disciples fight. Ah, but we're not... Christ isn't dying to save this present evil age. He's dying to save sinners from this present evil age. Listen, dear friends. Christ died on the cross. On the cross, Christ cried, it is finished. He did not say, I am finished, but the work of salvation is finished. And this is why, friends, we are redeemed by the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Shed for rebels, shed for sinners. Thank God, shed for a sinner like me. And upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my all eternally. Sink or swim, friend, it's Christ for me, and Christ alone, and I need no other argument. I seek no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. It is finished. That's provision enough. It is I, he said. That's presence enough. It is written. That's proof enough. And that's enough for me. It is written. And this title was written in Hebrew, the language of religion, the sacred language of the covenant people. It was written in Greek, the language of culture and science. It was the language of the common people. It was written in Latin, the language of government, of law. It was the language of control. And that's why this message that Pilate pinned to the cross of Christ goes out into all the world, in all the languages of the world. It's the message that this world needs. And it's Jesus Christ. And that is why, friends, it's the way of the cross leads home, and there's no other way. You see, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right to the rationalist, to the evolutionist, to the humanist, to the Romanist, to the nominal Protestant, to the Muslim, to the Buddhist. There is a way that seemeth right to them, and they demand their rights. But God saith, there's only one way, and the end of all these other ways are the ways of death. It's only the way of the cross will take us home. And Jesus Christ is the only door, and he's the only Savior, and he's the only mediator between God and man, that man Christ Jesus, that made a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner. To who? To Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is that exclusive? Thank God it's exclusive. But not only is it exclusive, friend, it's a powerful way. It's a saving way. It's a gracious way. It's a wonderful way. It's a glorious way. Fred, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the Hebrew princes, the Jewish princes, if the Gentile princes had known, they would not have crucified him. But they crucified the Lord of glory in their ignorance, not knowing that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. But you know, beloved, that title that Pilate penned is a really marvelous title. Because you see, when the woman came to the tomb to anoint the body of Christ with sweet spices, early on the first day of the week, to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, they said, he will roll away the stone from us, from the door of the sepulchre. And when they looked, they saw the stone was already rolled away. And I'm quoting from Mark chapter 16, by the way. And they entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting clothed on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Now listen to the words. He saith, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now can you see how God is directing Pilate to write Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews? For on the first resurrection morning, As the people went to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away, and the angel of the Lord says, I know who you seek, Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here, he's risen. Friend, that's Jesus of Nazareth in resurrection, he's alive. And he ever lives in the power of an endless life. Thank God he's alive. Go to Acts chapter 2 till I show you this. And this is mighty. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he said in verse 22 of Acts chapter 2, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Now watch the title. Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. And that was why Pilate was wrong when they said he had part to release him and part to set him free. And that was why Christ, even then, was in control of the situation. He knew the will of God. He knew that God would bring him forth from the dead, that his body would not see corruption, and neither it did, thank God. But this is what I want you to see. Whom ye have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Can you see Jesus of Nazareth? He was a man approved of God. He was used of God. He was delivered up of God. Ah, but thank God he was raised up by God. What a title, Pilate penned. Here you see Jesus of Nazareth in resurrection. Here you see Jesus of Nazareth in proclamation. This is the one that we preach and proclaim. Jesus Christ, who lived amongst men and died and rose again to be the Savior. He was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again on account of our justification. But look at verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. He was not only approved of God and used of God and delivered of God and raised up by God, but thank God he's exalted by God. Oh, look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious, every knee to him should bow. But what I want you to see is verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly. They said, away with him, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. But Peter says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified. Listen to it now. Both Lord and Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to John on the end of Patmos, I am he that liveth and became dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Let me show you another wee thing just before I close. And it's in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And this is Paul giving his testimony. He's going down the Damascus road, breathing out slaughter against the people of God. And as he made his way to Damascus, Acts 22, verse 6, Suddenly, there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul of Tarsus, he's lying in the dust just outside of Damascus. And there's a glorious light shining round about him above the brightness of the noonday sun. And he heard a voice speaking, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, Who art thou, Lord? Lord Abraham? Lord Isaac? Lord Jacob? Lord Isaiah? No, listen to the answer. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou crucifiest. And that's Jesus in identification. Oh, you can't miss it, friends. What a mighty gospel the Pilate preached. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And here we see Jesus of Nazareth in resurrection, Jesus of Nazareth in proclamation as the only Savior, exalted to the right hand of God. And here's Jesus of Nazareth in identification. He's Lord, he's Christ. He's the Savior of the world. This old book of ours, it's a wonderful old book. God's word is truth. And sometime, look at the last chapter of your New Testament, the book of Revelation, and the last chapter. There's one that speaks to John, and he saith, I, Jesus, am coming again. Beloved, you needn't turn to it now, because I just want to finish. Jesus of Nazareth in resurrection, Jesus of Nazareth in proclamation, Jesus of Nazareth in identification. He's identified as Lord and Christ. He's alive. He's the Savior. And thank God he's able to save to the uttermost all that will come unto God through faith in him. And this same Jesus, he's coming again. He's coming in consummation. He's coming to complete salvation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a moment it will be when we see Jesus and we see him in all his glory. Not as an object. Of ridicule, but as a glorious, exalted Lord, who is our Savior. What a moment it will be when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. In these days, beloved, of opposition to the preaching of the gospel, pin your colours to the mast and let men and women know that you belong to Christ and you're not ashamed to own your Lord. Amen. Or to deny his name. Maintain the honour of his cross. Maintain at all costs the glory of his name. And it will be worth it all when we hear him say, Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. How we thank thee for this message that was pinned to the cross of Christ. In the cross of Christ thy glory, tarring o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head, sublime, the cross. upon which Jesus died. Lord, we thank you for that cross,
amen,
that old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame, but for those that believe, the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation to all that will believe. So bless this dear people, we pray. Take our thanks for being here. And Lord, as we leave this hall this evening and go our several ways, take us to our homes in safety. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.